coming up on KUCB News. Under the governor's proposed budget, Unalaska could lose more than a quarter of its projected revenue, and the Raiders end their regular basketball season with a string of wins. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Monday, February 25th, 2019. The Unalaska Raiders swept their opponents at the Raven Invitational this weekend, and both basketball teams were crowned tournament champions. On Thursday, not long after landing in Dillingham, the boys' squad took on their host. After a close first period, Unalaska exploded for 17 points in the second quarter and went on to win the game 58-31. Dallas Lane and Trevor Wilson combined for 40 points. The next day, the boys blew out New Stuyahawk 55-12 and then routed Dillingham in a rematch 74-45. The Raiders girls extended their winning streak to 7. On Thursday, they crushed New Stuyahawk 60-20 before embarking on a doubleheader Friday. In the first match against Diamond JV, Unalaska triumphed 42-24. Then in their last game, the Raiders faced 2A rival Dillingham. Unalaska went on a 7-point run to start the first quarter and a 9-point run to open the second half, putting Dillingham away 43-34. Haley Wilson recorded a double-double with 12 points and 10 rebounds. The Raiders now have a week off before regionals. That tournament runs March 6th through 8th in Anchorage. The city of Unalaska is taking a cautiously optimistic approach to the issue of fish taxes. Governor Mike Dunleavy recently proposed legislation that would allow the state to keep millions of dollars in tax revenue from commercial fisheries instead of splitting it with coastal communities that receive and process the catch, which is what the state does now. As home to the nation's number one fishing port, the city of Unalaska stands to lose $8.3 million under the proposal, or about 27% of its total projected revenue. But Mayor Frank Kelty says there's not a lot of legislative support for the idea.
The scuttlebutt we're hearing from legislators is that, you know, that's not going to happen. When you look at where some of the power players are in the Senate and the House, a lot of them are in fishery-dependent communities.
In the House, Kelty points to Speaker Bryce Edgman of Dillingham, who represents Unalaska in Bristol Bay. In the Senate, he points to Sitka's Bert Stedman, who co-chairs the Finance Committee.
So we have a lot of power senators and House members, and that will be very important for us to try and overcome anything that happens.
While Kelty doesn't expect Dunleavy's proposal to pass in its current form, he says lawmakers could adjust the revenue-sharing formula to send more money to the state.
You never know. They could do something. They could rearrange the arrangement. Maybe instead of getting 50-50, it might be some other different calculation. So there could still be impacts that we face.
If that happens, Kelty says the impacts would ripple throughout Unalaska. In addition to city government, he says the lost revenue would hurt the local public schools and nonprofits, which received almost $5.5 million in city funding this fiscal year. Yesterday marked Jennifer Shockley's last day as Unalaska's acting police chief. She resigned in January after spending more than 18 years with the Department of Public Safety. KUCB's Laura Craigle sat down with Shockley then to ask why.
In December of 2017, Mike Coleman turned in his resignation as Director of Public Safety, and it's been more than a year with no executive head at the helm. You know, the trickle-down effect in terms of workload for staff, in terms of things that we can't do that we should be doing as part of our mission, just kind of keeps building and building. And, you know, as far as doing it now, at some point a couple of months ago, I really kind of had to make a decision about my professional goals, which I have not been able to meet here in the last year, and what I needed to do to achieve my professional goals for myself.
So it sounds like the issue stems from the city's decision to delay hiring a full-time police chief for as long as it has. And city officials did that because they wanted to first settle the big question of department restructuring, which only just came to a conclusion last month. So did the council's decision to split public safety actually factor into your resignation at all? Or was it just kind of the drawn-out way the whole thing was handled? Because you did mention that you started looking at other job opportunities around 6 months ago, and that's roughly the time that City Manager Thomas recommended separating public safety into two standalone departments.
The actual decision to split really had little to nothing to do with my decision to pursue other avenues. It obviously, I think, played a role in the timing of things from the city standpoint. Like I said, you know, the city council and city administration have had well over a year to address this problem. But it more coincidence that it was occurring when the split was beginning than anything else.
You said you were looking for an opportunity that would help you reach your professional goals. So what are those goals, and how are they going to match up with your new job in West Africa? You said you'll be an advisor to Liberia's national police.
Well, I would certainly love to be an agency head somewhere. And I do hope to come back to Alaska at some point in the next few years. But the opportunity to work as a senior advisor with a national police force and really help build them, not from the ground up, like I said, they already have an organization in place, but to really be working with them on ways that they can improve their organization and meet the requirements of the rule of law is going to be an incredible learning opportunity for me. And I am anticipating really getting a lot of experiences that will translate well to, you know, bringing up any agency of any size in terms of understanding what do you need at the ground level in order to build an organization that can achieve its mission. And I think it's really coming at a good time. I figure I've got quite a few more years left in terms of how long I kind of expect to work in my career generally. So I think, you know, going overseas for a year, maybe 2 years, will really give me some good experiences and knowledge to build on in other places.
You've lived here for almost 30 years. You've worked at public safety for almost 20 years. So what's your mindset like as you prepare to leave after such a long tenure?
You know, certainly I've got mixed feelings about it. This community is home. And I think part of the reason that it's a little bit easier for me to think about being gone for a year, a couple of years, whatever it may be, is that, you know, I'm maintaining my residence here. It is still going to be the place that I come back to, at least for the near future. So I don't really feel like I'm totally leaving. which does make it easier. But from the career standpoint, there was a lot of back and forth in my decision making. But, I have not been able to achieve my professional goals here. And I do see leaving as an opportunity to do that.
That was former Acting Police Chief Jennifer Shockley speaking with KUCB's Laura Craigle about her resignation. You can listen to their full conversation online at kucb.org. City Manager Thomas E. Thomas did not respond to KUCB's request for comment about how the city is handling the transition at public safety. About a year after federal regulators dramatically cut the Pacific cod quota in the Gulf of Alaska, some fishermen in the Bering Sea say there are too many boats fishing for the declining species. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is looking into the problem, but as KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports, potential solutions are likely to be controversial.
After Pacific cod stocks crashed in the Gulf of Alaska over the past few years, members of the fishing industry say fishermen are focusing their efforts farther west. Tom Enlow is the president of Unicee, which operates a large shoreside processor in Unalaska. He says more vessels, especially trawlers, are crowding the fishing grounds. He also says there are more offshore processors competing for their cod.
You're seeing people who have not historically participated in these fishery from as a processor standpoint being now coming into the fishery. So there's lots of excess capacity now and pressure on this resource.
Crowded fishing grounds are dangerous, and some trawlers say the congestion is causing a race for fish. Brent Payne is the executive director of United Catcher Boats, which represents a number of Bering Sea trawl vessels. He says the increased effort is pushing vessels to fish in rough weather and to throw bycatch prevention efforts to the wayside.
You got kind of a perfect storm going on here. We have more and more vessels entering the fishery. You've got less fish available to be caught. And now, you know, this year in 2019, we ended up with a 13-day season where 4 years ago it never even closed.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is examining the growth of offshore processors and the number of trawl vessels participating in the federal fishery as separate issues. The council took up Payne and others' request to look into a catch share plan for trawl catcher vessels, which would split up the sector's catch between individual boats before the season begins, therefore limiting the number of vessels that can participate in the fishery and reducing competition. Other fisheries like halibut and pollock use that management structure. The catch would be split up by awarding vessels ownership of quota shares, which act much like a stock share in a business. Each share would represent a certain percentage of the catch allocated to the Bering Sea trawl sector each year. The trawl sector receives 22% of the total federal catch in the region.
And it would be, you know, allocated out to people who have been historically participating in the fishery. And then they can just, you know, slow the fishery way down and catch it, catch their individual allocation in a cooperative manner instead of racing for the fish.
A specific date range would determine historical participation and therefore who gets shares and how many. That's likely to be a contentious issue if and when that date range is determined. As it stands now, only trawlers are asking for a catch share plan, but the conversation worries fishermen in other gear groups. Homer-based commercial fisherman Eric Velsko participates in the federal under 60-foot pot fishery. He also fishes in the state fishery, which takes a slice out of Bering Sea federal cod allocations.
That's the worry, is that once we do one, does that mean we have to do all of them? Can we have part of the fishery rationalized and the other part not?
Velsko belongs to the North Pacific Fisheries Association, which represents small and large fixed-gear vessels that participate in Bering Sea Pacific cod fisheries. The group's president, Malcolm Milne, says it hasn't taken an official stance on a potential catch share plan for trawlers, but the group worries the conversation would eventually include the entire fishery, as other catch share programs have.
The idea of catch shares in the Bering Sea and possibly the Gulf has come up, so if they establish catch shares, a public resource becomes privatized, and in the past when they've given these shares away or allocated them, then people had an instant asset that they were able to buy and sell. So depends on who gets the qualifying years and who's the ones writing the program as to how it turns out who gets the shares.
No one is able to say how this conversation will shape the future of the cod fishery in the Bering Sea yet. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is expected to revisit the issue later this year when it's due to receive a scoping paper from council staff. I'm Aaron Bolton, reporting in Homer.
And that's the news from Onalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.